Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these words that we read this morning. Help us this morning. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us to live more for you and obey you and love you more. God, you've already done that through all the proceedings. But God, now as the man of God comes and opens up the word of God, we'd ask that you would anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power to help us. We need to hear from you today. And Father, if there's one in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray today they would settle that before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me make my cell phone comments. Please make sure they are turned off or to vibrate. If your cell phone goes off during the service and we hear it, we have an antenna on top of this building that will immediately link your phone number to a database that has the number of every telemarketer in this country. And you will be hounded by telemarketers unmercifully for the rest of your life. So please just make sure it doesn't go off. All right, give us all mercy here. And I'm just going to sit still, listen very carefully. Lord's Supper always takes us a little extra time. And as we always tell you, clock watching Baptists, if we're supposed to be done at noon, we have about 8 minutes and it's over. It doesn't mean it's over. It just means we have about 8 minutes and then your mind will be dismissed from the rest of the service. So just listen real carefully. We began last week talking about spiritual warfare. We talked about spiritual warfare, first of all, within. The moment you become a child of God, you have, before your salvation, you have a fleshly nature, carnal nature, the old man, the Bible calls it. That is a nature that hates God, hates the Bible, and hates anything that's right. Every person in this room has that nature within them. The moment you accept Christ as your Savior, God gives you a new nature. This nature is completely opposite of that. It loves God. It loves the Bible. It loves what's right. From that moment of your salvation till you leave this life, those two natures are going to do warfare inside of you. They're going to have warfare. Romans chapter 7, we used that as our text last week. One of the greatest Christians, maybe the greatest Christian who ever lived, said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall release me from the body of this death?" He said, there's a war going on inside of me. Now that warfare is very real. It is a spiritual warfare that is within us, internal. Today we're going to talk to you about an external warfare that goes on around us. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when Satan was cast out of heaven, he was Lucifer, perfect angel. In his rebellion against God, he was cast out of heaven, and his pride and his rebellion turned him into the devil, incarnate evil. From that day to this day, Satan and God have been in a spiritual warfare. You and I this morning must understand something. We live on the battlefield of that spiritual warfare. And you and I must also understand something else about this spiritual warfare that is around us. By the way, next week, God willing, I'll be preaching on the spiritual warfare that is ahead of us. Biblical prophecy tells us of things, and we'll talk about the events of this world and how they're coming together, and it all brings together a great spiritual conflict that is to take place at the end of everything. But we must understand that this spiritual warfare that goes on around us today is a warfare that exists every day and is everywhere on this planet. They found out now with these extremists, these Islamic extremists, that our warfare tactics we have known in the past are not effective like they were. In the past, you had an enemy in one country, another person in another country, and they went and fought with each other, and lines were drawn, and there was a battlefield. And this now, with this Islamic extremism, let me say it one more time, not everyone in Islam is an extremist and wants to kill people. But understand this morning, those people that are in that religion who hate what's right and God and Christianity, they're everywhere in this world today. It pops up all over the places, bombings and all that sort of thing that happened. There is no clear battlefield now. The world is their battlefield. Okay, now as it is with that, in that case, so it is with spiritual warfare. There's spiritual warfare going on in this room right now this morning. There's spiritual warfare on this property today. When you leave this building and you go home, you're still on the battlefield. You get up tomorrow and you go to work, you're on the battlefield. The truth of the matter is, the spiritual warfare that is around us is everywhere. Now, I don't want you to get the boogeyman, oh, we're all in big trouble stuff, but I want you to understand this warfare that exists, my friend, we are all in it every day of our lives. It goes on around us all the time. It's as if we live on a battlefield every day of our lives. And the spiritual warfare is very real. You will step onto this battlefield every day for the rest of your life. Well, Pastor Johnson, wait a minute. You told me last week I got this warfare going on inside of me as a Christian, and it's going to be that way till I die. And now not only do I have a war inside of me, I have a war going on around me. It's like living in a battle zone. Exactly right. Hey, go home today and get your Bible and a concordance, or if you're like most people and you use computer software, look up soldier. Look up how many times the expression of a soldier is used for the expression of the child of God. Here we have Ephesians chapter 6 telling us to take unto us the armor of God. Why do you need armor? Because you're in a battle. It's war. And we need to understand today that as Christians, we are surrounded by spiritual warfare. It is a warfare that most are not aware of and do not see the real reasons behind the casualties that this warfare leaves behind. Now you hear me this morning, dear people. We look in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 12 this morning. The Christian is called to wear God's armor, only needed if in warfare, and to realize what that armor teaches us. It says, and look at verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Stop and look at me. That means it's not about one person against another person. It's not about me against you. It's not about you against the people. It's not about us against the government. It's not about flesh and blood issues. Those people are involved in the warfare. Many of them do not realize that they're pawns in the spiritual warfare on Satan's side of things. But it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But notice the statements now, verse 12. But against principalities, number one. Against powers, number two. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, number three. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Look up high places in the Greek and it's Congress. But the truth is it's four... It's more true than you know. It's four levels of spiritual conflict that go on. And literally, that's an expression in the Bible that refers to military ranks. How that it goes from verse 12 where it starts with principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, that's places of authority. And literally, it means a conflict with an organizational type war where there are generals, as it were, leadership, people that are involved in this. I mean, it's an organized process of things. It's not just mayhem. Here it is. Now look at me. Satan against God. Satan has his forces and those who work with him and for him to fulfill his will. They are his soldiers. God has his. In some cases, those who work for Satan are demons. They're fallen angels, those who were with him in rebellion against God. And we'll show you this in next week in the message, but how the third of the angels of heaven, when Lucifer was an angel and an archangel, that means one of three angels over this body of angels in heaven, when he led his rebellion against God, a third of the angels in heaven who were under him joined him in that rebellion. They were cast out. They too were transformed by their rebellion and sin into what are demons. Those are real creatures. They walk this earth. They inhabit the bodies of lost people. They have powers and abilities. Also, there are people who literally work for the devil in what he does. Some of them knowingly, most of them unknowingly. But God also has his forces. He has 2/3 of the angels of heaven. He has a great body of people who walk this earth today who are his children. And they are on God's side of this thing. At least they should be. And we'll cover that in a moment. And my dear friend, the contest between Satan and his forces and God and his is the spiritual battlefield that is around us. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, and it lists these powers and workings. Let us understand this thing about this spiritual warfare that goes on around us. Number one, we are born on one side or the other. Not join, you are born on one side or the other. You mean it's God versus Satan. I wasn't born of the devil, Pastor Johnson. Yes, a person, listen to me. When you are born into this life until you become a child of God, you belong to the devil. You have to just read John chapter 8 and verse number 44. Jesus is talking to the Jews, religious people. And he tells them some things they don't want to embrace. And they say, no. We're born of Abraham. They're declaring their religious pedigree. And Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. John 8, 44. Before a person is saved, they are born into Satan's family. They belong to the devil. Pastor Johnson, No. We're talking about people like, heathens who worship demon gods. And No. Every person, listen to me, Christian America or no Christian America, religious background or no religious background, when they are born into this life, they belong to the devil. That's what the Bible teaches. You are born onto the side of Satan's battlefield, warfare concerning this spiritual battlefield. So don't be surprised when people act in a way that's completely in rebellion against God, completely in rebellion against what the Bible says. Hey, they declare they are what they are at birth. I'm a homosexual by birth. I'm an atheist by birth. I'm a this by birth. You know what? They're right. That's what they were by birth. But a person's not born a homosexual and they're not born an atheist. They come to embrace the doctrine of their father, the devil. Now that's hard stuff, folks, but that's biblical and that's how it is. Now listen to me carefully. So then when we as a child of God were born into Satan's family, how do we get out of that? Jesus said, John chapter 3, you must be born again. The spiritual births us out of Satan's family into God's family. So the expression of born again in John chapter 3 that Jesus used is more than just a spiritual expression. It is a literal expression that you've got to change families in this thing. You and I must understand, you don't do that as your physical birth, and in your physical birth, you had nothing to do with that coming into this world. You have nothing to do with being born into God's family. You don't do it by works. You don't do it by religion. Matter of fact, most religion today is simply satanic teaching that goes against what the Bible says. Anything that any religion that tells you by your works and your deeds you become a child of God is from the devil. That's the old junk that came back from the Garden of Eden. Back when Satan told Adam and Eve, well, you can be like God and make up your own religion. You can be like God and choose things your way. Yeah, that's the religion of Burger King. Ooh, that sounds good. That's the religion of Burger King. Have it your way. I don't care what they call it. I don't care how many crosses they put on the buildings. I don't care what they declare themselves to be. Anything that's contrary to the Word of God, and the Bible is clear. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace, friend, and saved by the amazing faith that God gives us from His Word by the gift of God purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. But until we accept that salvation of the gift of God that He has given us, till then we're a part of the devil's family. That's all there is to it. Now, I don't care what kind of religion it is or group it is or how moral the person is. Don't you understand? Satan has all kinds of people in his family. He's got those who are outright satanic in who they are and what they do. But that is a very small category. The largest category are those who have no idea they're a part of his family. But they're definitely on his side. But the moment you accept Christ as your Savior, you are born again. Now you're born out of that family into God's family. By trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, guess what? You switch sides. You become one of God's people. Now you're God's child. You become His child, and He takes you into His family. And now you're on the other side. Now that's a good, bad thing. Good, I'm out of the devil's family. Bad, now the devil who was my father is now my enemy. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. We are now on the battlefield based on which side we are. And everyone who's born again is born onto God's side. We must understand this about our external warfare that goes on around us. We must have the right defense. Look in Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Two things of our defense that are mentioned here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Look at it. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Two things you need for defense in this spiritual warfare, my child of God friend. Number one, you need God's strength. Can you imagine today? Have you seen the news clips of what our dear soldiers are doing today in the fields and mountains of Afghanistan, the dusty plains of Iraq? Could you imagine if they had to be in warfare every day, all day, for the rest of their lives? Imagine the tremendous endurance it would take to be able to take on a lifetime battlefield situation. See, it seems to be overwhelming to us. Good night, Pastor Johnson. There's warfare going on in this room right now. There's warfare in my life. They'll be at my house. They'll be in my workplace. Everywhere I go, I'm on the battlefield. I'm in a fight for the rest of my life. That's right, friend. Rather than just, and by the way, let's decide this right now. There's no neutrality in this war. You don't get to stand in the middle like these peaceniks running up and down using the freedoms of America to slam our troops and slam our leadership and then say, well, all we want is peace. You don't get that. You don't have freedom without fighting. I'm sorry, that's just all there is to it. And if you don't want to get behind the troops and support them, then get in front of them and let them deal with you. But anyway, that's another point. The truth of the matter is, we don't get to, you know, there's no Switzerland in this thing, okay? No neutral country. You don't get to say, well, I'm not in the fight, but yes, you are. You're on one side or the other side. And as a child of God, if I'm going to be on this battlefield for the rest of my life, and I've got to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand, that's going to take supernatural strength. That's why he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I cannot do this on my own. You may get weary in the battle, friend, but you better not get weary of it. Otherwise, we just capitulate, surrender, throw up the white flag, and he doesn't take prisoners. He takes victims. But with God's strength, guess what you can do? You can do what David did when he stood in front of an almost 10-foot train-killing giant and saw the giant fall instead of the boy. You can do what you need to do, having done all to stand. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, the Bible says. But it comes from my dependence upon the Lord. It's a realization. Mike Johnson cannot take. You can't do it, friend. You cannot resist the wiles of the devil. He's too smart. He's been outsmarting people for 6,000 years and pulling the same junk on the same people, and they're falling for the same stuff. Without his strength, I can't make that. My defense is my God's help in my life. You look here, you get that every day when you come to him and draw on the strength of your walk with your God and the time you spend with him. Hey, listen to me. You gird up the loins of your truth and you stand up in the righteousness of God. He gives you the grace sufficient for every need. Mercy's new every morning. He renews your spirit every day, huh? You get the battlefield, you get up again and you get up and you go again and you get up and you go again. And you're going to need that for the rest of your life, God's strength, and then you need God's armor. There are 8 pieces of armor listed here, and we'll not go through them this morning, but every one of those 8 pieces, if you capsulize what they teach, it's simply this. The armor of God is given the Christian who has a right relationship and obedience to God's word. Every piece of this armor, loins girt about with truth, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, helmet of salvation, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, prayer and supplication. Every one of those things you have, if you have a right relationship with and obedience to the Bible in your life, that's your armor and your protection, the Word of God, and what you do with the Bible that you have. Folks, listen to me. Stop carrying the Bible and think that somehow or another this book in your hand or on a coffee table in your front room is going to provide you the defense that you need. No. Loins girt about with the truth. That was the hip area where they would carry the scabbard for their swords. So they made sure they had their weapon ready. It means knowing what you believe. It means the sword of the Spirit. That means using the Bible like a weapon in your life to defend and protect yourself and your own people. Shield of faith. That's obedience to the Word of God. Helmet of salvation. That's knowing that you're saved based on what the Bible said. Everything's about the Bible. It's all about that. Churches today making so little of the Bible and so much out of production and show and presentation and putting on a good production. So you go to church, they got a little light show and a bunch of dance people jumping around, and everybody goes home and they had a good show, but there's not enough Bible in there to blow the fuzz off a peanut. No wonder Satan's having a heyday with people's lives. We need the Bible. We need a Bible through and through and through in our lives. Everything about the Word of God. It's everything that we need. It provides us with our defense. Job. In Job chapter 1, the Bible says, Satan came and presented himself before God. And God says, hey, you consider my servant Job? He's an just and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And Satan says, yeah, sure. But you got a hedge around him and I can't get to him. Job didn't have a literal hedge around him. He had a spiritual hedge around him. And his spiritual hedge was the testimony of his life. And that's your defense. And without it, you are defenseless. You're running into the fight without weapons. You're running into the fight without armor. You're going to stand up against someone who's been picking off victims far better than you and I put together for centuries now. But with the simple idea, the simple strength, nothing simple about it, but the powerful strength of Almighty God upon our lives and His protection of armor by my relationship with and obedience to the Bible, He runs, not you. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. For some time in this country, we had leadership in this nation who believed you take the fight to the enemy. You don't let them bring it to us. Don't stand around, twiddle our thumbs, and keep on the diplomacy issue. You try to talk to people. They don't talk. That's it. When they come after you, you go get them. Because if you don't go after them, they're going to come after you. So you have to take it to the enemy. See, this idea of spiritual warfare, you can't just walk out there and say, well, maybe he won't notice me today. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. And he knows this, and he understands it. And he's always looking. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You see the nature programs with lions that walk around the herds of animals. They don't jump on the back of a 950-pound elephant. They pick off one of the little ones, or someone who's wandering, or someone who's weak. Easy victims, quick kill, easy meal. You show me a Christian, my friend, strong in the Lord's might. Covered with the armor of God. He's not a victim. Mm-mm. Too much trouble, too much problem. Too much of a problem to him. There is a warfare that goes on. And we must have the right defense. We must make sure that we are on the right side. And then we must understand what are the consequences of this warfare. There are only victors or victims. That is all. There's no administrators in this thing. And no desk jobs in this warfare. Mm-mm. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. That's right, bro. We're either in the fight. And that armor of God, what's amazing about all eight pieces of armor? There's nothing for the back. Nothing. Everything has to be forward. You turn your back and run, you're a victim, just like that. Well, Pastor Johnson, I was talking with a soldier one day, just returned from Iraq. please don't go up to these guys and ask if they ever killed anybody, that kind of stuff. That is not necessary. But I wanted some information about battlefield situations and things. He made an interesting statement. He said, they taught us in our training that when you're ambushed, you do not run. You run, you become a victim. When you're ambushed, you go toward the enemy. That is your only defense and help. Running will only cause you certain death. In this spiritual warfare, friend, there is no armor for the back. You turn your back to Satan, he'll have you as a victim in a moment. We must understand the consequences of this spiritual warfare that goes on around us are victims or victors, one or the other. Listen, either Satan's work advances with his cause and his people and his program, or God's work advances and his cause. Well, said Pastor Johnson, it would look like God's losing. No, it looks like Satan's winning, because not enough of God's people are standing up for Jesus Christ. Do you understand, dear people? It doesn't take a lot of people to put the devil on the run. It really doesn't. We don't have to turn a whole nation in a moment. But don't you think something ought to be done about Redding, California? Huh? Don't you think something should be done about Cottonwood and Palo Cedro? Don't you think something should be done about Shasta Lake? Don't you think something should be done about Bella Vista and Happy Valley and Cloverdale? Don't you think something should be done about Anderson and the places where we live? Don't you think something could be done here? And I believe something is being done here. And every time a Christian stands up for Jesus Christ and stands up for the cause of Christ, Satan loses, God wins, and the program goes on. In the spiritual warfare that we talk about ahead of us next week, I'll show you how God wins when it's all over and done. So you might as well get on the right side of this program. In this external spiritual warfare, the winner in this God versus Satan thing gets controls of lives and futures of multitudes of people. It's sad that millions will watch a football game. Sadder still that millions more will watch an awards program where people get a little statue for pretending to be somebody they're not. And people will be impressed. I was telling my class this morning, they need to give one to teenagers. They have tremendous dramatic experience with little training. Sad, isn't it? Well, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. That's how the world is, and that's the way Satan's program is. He puts on a big show and makes it look like it's the biggest thing on this planet. But you couldn't tell me who won the Academy Award for most person, whatever they do, 50 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago. You know why? Because that stuff doesn't matter. They roll up the carpet and everybody goes home to their psychiatrist and their Prozac. And they get back to their messed up lives, and then we wonder why we care about what these people do. We ought to pity them, not worship who they are. Hey, there you are, my friend, doing your best for Jesus and your family. And you're making a difference for God. You understand that? Hey, look at me. For this amount of people in Redding, California, Satan loses, God wins. And we just keep on doing that. You understand? We take it one thing. Every major battle in the history of warfare is never won by one conflict. It's won by a series of things that were done that led to the turn of victory. God's program is coming in, friend, and God's going to take care of things. And yes, when it's all over and said and done, God wins and Satan burns in hell forever. Question is this: are you on the right side? Number two, have you switched teams? Did you give up the side that you were on, which you were born again into, and you've decided I'm going to do it my way instead of God's way? That's satanic living, friend. And that causes nothing but defeat for the cause of righteousness. Let's make sure this morning. There's a spiritual warfare going on around us. Everywhere we go, every place we go. But God will give us strength to stand, and having done all to stand, we have our armor in place. And the child of God will be victorious, and we'll do our part for the cause of Christ. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.